Welcome to the show. On today's episode, we have Adele Wong. She has been a women's energetic wellness coach in private practice for over 15 years. She works with high-performing female corporate leaders and entrepreneurs on their mind-body health. She uses her skills as an energy medicine teacher, meditation teacher, and certified energy medicine practitioner. She works with patients on stress-related diseases, hormonal issues, and energy balancing. In this episode, we'll be talking about stress-related illness. We'll learn the role of energy in stress and some useful, meaningful, and sustainable tactics in stress management. So if you feel some stress coming on, or if you're just a stress ball like me, this episode is definitely for you. Please enjoy. Before we head into today's episode, I'm excited to share some details with you from today's sponsor, Dr. Stephen Cabral, board-certified doctor of naturopathy and author of The Rainbale Effect, whom I've had on the show in the past. He has a really incredible offer for listeners today that will help you hit the whole body reset button and get guaranteed results or your money back. Are you struggling to lose weight and keep it off? Are you tired of trying fad diets and juice cleanses only to be disappointed by the outcome? The way to finally lose weight and get well is by removing the underlying root cause holding you back. Your liver filters all the blood in your body every 6 minutes. But with the influx of toxins in our environment, our livers cannot keep up and our bodies have no choice but to store these toxins in our fat cells, organs, even our brain, so they're not floating around in the blood system. Over time, this toxin buildup begins to cause symptoms of poor health. The Dr. Cabral Detox is a comprehensive full-body functional medicine detoxification system that gently eliminates harmful toxins while rebalancing the body at an underlying root cause level. Benefits of the 21-day detox include decreased bloating and puffiness, lose weight, speed up metabolism, rebalance your hormones, reset healthy inflammation levels, get clear skin, enjoy healthy blood sugar levels, increase energy, improve sleep, strengthen your digestion. This detox has been proven to work for tens of thousands of people just like you. As a limited time offer, Dr. Cabral is providing $100 off a 21-day detox or $20 off a 7-day detox. Head on over to stephencabral.com/cat, K-A-T, to reserve your detox today. Welcome to the Kat Kativi Podcast, your source for all things health, happiness, and beauty. Hi, Adele. Thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
So we're all stressed out during this time more than ever. And I wanted to talk to you about stress and stress-related illnesses. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about your personal journey and background in the health and wellness industry.
Gosh. Well, I never set out to do any of this. And I'm a perfect example of probably what a lot of people are sitting through. I was raised to be very smart and intelligent and knowledgeable and helpful and do the right thing. And I really applied myself and didn't understand why from the time I was in maybe high school or most definitely by the time I was in college, I really struggled with how to relate to people. I really did not know how to do it. And so I thought the solution to everything was to study a book, just like academic study. You would get a book on psychology or self-help. You should see my shelf here. I call it shelf help. It's self-help that sits on a shelf. But I really applied myself to figure out what I was doing wrong because I was surrounded by people and lonely all the time. And I don't think anyone could tell from the outside. Looked great on the outside, felt flat on the inside. And as I went into college and young adult, it just got worse. And I couldn't figure out what I was doing wrong. And I read a lot of positive psychology books. And I even tried a little bit of therapy back then. And I can't say it really worked that well, but I tried it. And all I knew was I was incredibly successful on the outside and feeling completely isolated and lonely on the inside. I felt like no one really knew me. I felt like if they did know me, like I didn't even know how to let people know me. I mean, all this stuff about being authentic, I didn't even know what that meant. So it wasn't like I was holding myself back. I didn't know what was even there to show, if that makes sense. And because I was so buried in how I should be, cultural things, and my parents only wanted the best for me, and I wanted to please them. But what the net result was, my body was living in a constant state of heightened stress all the time, like round the clock. And I thought it was normal. You know, it's kind of like asking a fish if they're wet. And I'm sure a lot of women listening to this might be able to relate. I had no idea how much stress I was holding in. And it wasn't the kind of stress that just gets better from a good night's rest. You know, a lot of times people say, well, if you're tired, exhausted, just sleep. That wasn't the kind of fatigue I was really dealing with. It was something much more insidious and deeper. It had seeped into my bones. I was having some unexplained weird illnesses that no one could figure out what was wrong with me. And the more I read about stress-related illness, the more I thought, well, I'm not doing something right. And that would just stress me out even more. So I was on this constant self-improvement thing, which has an edge to it. It means that wherever you're at, you're never good enough. There's always more to improve. And so anyway, the net of the result was I fell into a deep depression, and especially after a nasty breakup with a gentleman who couldn't give me the time of day. And I remember at that point, something said inside of me, you can't keep doing this. Working so hard to improve yourself, working so hard to be understanding and compassionate and kind, and your communication style, your attachment style, like all this stuff was not working. And so at that point I said, Adele, if you don't figure this out, you're going to leave, because I saw no point in being here. I had tried so hard my whole life to be the good friend, the good daughter, the good, you know, and I was miserable. And so at that point I gave up all ideas of self-improvement, stress relief, all that stuff. Looking back at it now, I know that I only understood it. I didn't really know what it felt like. Those are two very different worlds. And anyway, I traveled around the world, worked with people that they're not famous, but they showed me a body of work I had never heard of. And I noticed I started to physically feel a lot better quickly for no reason. I wasn't doing anything else different. I wasn't exercising more. I was not eating differently. It's just this type of work that I specialize in more made a radical change. The world of energy. And it's something I can talk about more, because I think it's something that people intuitively yearn towards, but they don't know what it is. So anyway, I got so much better that I started sharing what I knew with friends. I discovered that when I was little, I remembered seeing things around, like, I don't know. I realize now my eyes are just sensitive. I see things, energy. It's nothing, you know, that's special. It's kind of like people who have a really sensitive nose can work in the perfume industry. People with a sensitive ear can work in the recording industry. I could see energy in the room. A lot of people can. A lot of people. And I thought, okay, well, this is useful. So I started, I had a high-level job in a bank in corporate, and I was working in IT software development. And in the evenings, I was working with people. And I got busier and busier. And pretty soon, you know, I had to make a choice. And I said, I remember saying, okay, if I'm meant to do this, I will do it for 6 months. And if it doesn't work, I'm heading back towards telecom, right? And, you know, I never looked back. It did take off. And now I specialize with working with women just like me. They're usually very intelligent, professional, sensitive. And they're usually women very driven to do the right thing, right? I don't want to let people down. And that enormous pressure. And underneath it, I don't know what I really feel or think anymore. So there are some tools that I specialize in that will help with this. And a lot of times people, when they present, usually it's often with like a physical illness, stress-related illness that I can give you a list of them: IBS, Crohn's, arthritis, lupus, migraine, anything related to the ulcers, digestive tract, unexplained pain, back pain that doesn't go away. Like, there's a whole litany of conditions that modern medicine is not very good at. You know, the most you can do is maybe take a med, but it never heals. It never seems to completely clear. It seems like people are trying to sort of get by. And what I noticed was in my work, we were seeing really great results with the addition of an energetic approach or a different line of inquiry. And so I spent 5 years in an integrative medical office next door to MDs. So they would send me all their patients and I'd work on them and send them back. And we had a waiting list of 6 months. I mean, and I feel like this is the type of healthcare, especially women want, because it's much more, you know, all of us, including your hormones, including acupuncture, including your sexuality and sensuality, including your sleep, like all these things. Instead of, you know, you go to sleep specialist for this, you go to a hormone specialist for that. I mean, there's room for that, but I really feel like we're approaching a point where all of these things can talk to each other like in a round table instead of sequential. Anyway, that's a long story, but that's how I came because I almost did not make it. I reached a point of such depression. I said, I'm just going to leave if I don't find a better way to do this. And so I'm so glad I did. And this is what I share with women around the world now. Oftentimes we're getting amazing results. And I mean, yeah, it's not because of me. It's because of introducing a different way of doing this. Because women are exhausted. They're absolutely stressed and overwhelmed. So anyway, that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Awesome. So I think pretty much everybody, especially women in general, can relate to your story. I mean, even myself, I am a little ball of bent up stress. I know I am. And I've always tried to, like, you know, deal with that my whole life. And sometimes I'm really good at it. And then other times things set me off and then I need to go back to, like, calming myself down. And it's just like a struggle. And I don't know if that's all women, but it's definitely all the ones that I know.
And I love this, especially on your podcast, because I feel like we need to change the paradigm of how we talk about stress. Because right now, the model seems to be go calm yourself down, you know, and everyone is just trying to keep their stress down to a roar, right? And it feels very palliative. Like if you feel bad, go take a yoga class or do meditation, which works up to a point. Meditation works up to a point. I mean, everything is useful. Meditation, acupuncture, all these things. But if everything is just sort of trying to minimize or keep things down to a roar, people don't bloom. Like if you're stressed, there's something there that's important for that is trying to tap you on the shoulder to move you towards something better. And I feel like right now, much of the discussion on women's health seems to be more of a, yes, we need to calm down, but we also need to take action. So there's a yin and yang. And if it's too yin, nothing ever improves. You just sort of live another day, you know, and maybe the ulcer doesn't progress or PCOS doesn't get worse. But if you really want to maximize wellness, there has to be the yang of what is happening to this sensitive soul that has her, because the women are sensitive. And instead of that being treated as a liability, I think it's our biggest strength. And so we need people who are interested and open. Like, I mean, I've spent my lifetime understanding sensitivity in a way that's useful instead of, you know, like, well, just get over yourself, or because a lot of women feel like they haven't made the cut, right? I'm not being a good mother. I'm not, you know, like they're overwhelmed. I'm not a good employee. And I'm also sometimes inviting women to say, you're set up right now. The way things are running, no woman can do really well, you know, but as long as we have this mentality that you should somehow figure it out and be exhausted and have enough time for your own sense, you've got two kids, you're working a job. Humans weren't really designed to live this way. You know, when you look back into history, and I can go into that if it's of interest, but I share that so that your audience knows you're not crazy. So yes, definitely for stress, we need to calm down, which is useful. But there's often also a call to do something differently. What's possible here? You know, if I need more help, if I need to confront something or whatever. There's something that could be addressed. So we needed the yin and the yang in order to make this thing bloom. Because I tell all my clients, don't spend your whole life getting ready to live it, right? You have one life. And I feel like sometimes women are barely hanging on, if you know what I mean, barely hanging on. And they feel, it's like the expectations have been lowered. Well, if I can just get through the week, if I can just get through the month, and meanwhile, the health is suffering, they're not feeling so groovy, and at night, they can't sleep. The mind is just racing. So I'm very passionate about this. Anyway, sorry to talk your ear off, but that this is an area I feel needs to be addressed so that women don't feel like there's something wrong with them.
Yes. All my friends that have had children and they still have to work and they still have to do all the things, it's just expecting too much of one person. And they're always staying up all night, looking at Instagram or looking at something just to calm down and to have a moment for themselves, because that's the only moment they get in maybe their entire day.
Yes. And then social media becomes an escape. You know, if I can't even take a break from the day, let me just scroll and maybe I'll feel a little bit better. And that's not bad. And you know, it's like women are so, women are exhausted and looking for relief. And then social media sometimes is not the whole enchilada. You know, if you start comparing yourself on Instagram, then you finish the evening feeling even worse, you know? So I have a lot to say around this because I feel like until we get real with this, women's health, happiness will be affected. And if all we're telling people to do is go meditate, it's not that it's wrong. It's not enough. It's not enough. So I love what you're doing on this podcast. I think what you're doing is of service to a lot of women.
Yeah, I know that I cannot meditate unless I'm already in a calm state. If I'm angry, if I'm really, really stressed, all I will do would be ruminate on the things that are stressing me out or making me angry.
Absolutely. And so what I notice is the psychology that's happening is that anything that feels gross is somehow bad. You know, if I'm angry, I shouldn't be. Ladies, if you're listening to this, there's this mindset, if I'm angry, I shouldn't be. And when I'm speaking to clients around the world or women who talk, they're embarrassed about being angry or they're ashamed, they blew up. And I'm like, I love that because it's the flip side of passion. That energetic, when you study energy medicine, like I was, that is the flip side of passion. It's related to what you want. It's related to your sexuality. So if we meditate that away too early, well, then we don't know what is it that you need in that moment. Obviously, we don't want to just, you know, blow someone's head off in that moment, but that impulse is natural. Like animals get angry for a reason. Territory has been encroached on. Oh, you're stealing my food. I mean, there's a natural vibe and we're the same. So what is it in you that felt threatened or disrespected or whatever? And we can take action towards that. I feel like women often spend too much time trying to be going with the flow. And yes, we do need to do that. But if that's all we do in terms of trying to address problems, problems can stick around a long time. And that definitely affects women's health.
Yeah. I have some friends that they get very angry. Like if their husbands, I don't have this problem, so I'm very lucky. But if their husbands are like flirting with another girl in front of them or doing anything that's a little bit disrespectful, and then they start getting anxiety and upset and like checking things, and then they're labeled as crazy and jealous and possessive and all these things. And I'm just like, I think that's an appropriate response. And I think it should be maintained until you get the result you should get. Like, you're not getting what you deserve. So you should be fighting for it. And if that person's not going to give it to you, end the relationship or whatever. But the conversation needs to be had. It's not you that's the problem.
Exactly. And a lot of times women feel like, well, if he loved me enough, he wouldn't do that. You know, if he really loved me, he wouldn't do that. And I basically say, you know, chances are he would do that with anyone he was with. you just happened to be the one that was around. Meaning, and this is the case for all kinds of problems. We think if they loved me, he wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have cheated or this and that. And I'm like, look, some of these problems started long before you even met. You know, character issues, fear of abandonment, whatever, confronting. And it's highly likely that your husband or whoever it is would have done that with whoever they were with. You just happened to be the one. So can we not make everything in the world about you? Because a lot of women do that. And that just, oh my gosh, it's like an acid on somebody's energetic field to start carrying around everything that bad that happens is because of me, you know? So that's one thing from an energy standpoint. I like to help women shift. Yeah.
Yeah. I read this book when I was younger called Why Men Love Bitches. It was the best book ever. I know it sounds terrible, but it is a great book because it just teaches you that if you stand up for yourself and if you demand respect, and maybe some the people who call you like, you know, jealous or whatever, those are not the people for you. You need to demand that respect in a nice way, like saying, if you want to do this behavior, I will not be in your life. That's the boundary that women are not being taught. And then they're just crying or getting upset or having some sort of emotional response or getting jealous or whatever, when they should be taught how to set boundaries, how to stick to them, and how to let go of people that don't respect boundaries.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's this idea that I can nice people into respecting me, you know? Yeah. So, I mean, this topic goes really deep in terms of how women are conditioned to be in the world, how we hold our sexual energy. My experience has been in working with thousands of women. I've worked with cancer. I've worked with all sorts of OBGYN things, hormonal things like that. I can't prove it. We could say in a general sense that CDC has said like 96% of all illness has some stress-related component. 96%. And I would go so far to say, especially for issues reflecting women's health, because there's not enough emphasis on the energetic wellness of women, which is what you're talking about. The ability of women to say what they mean what they say, say no, even though it feels like psychology. And I'm not a psychologist, but I understand energy really well. What happens is if you're living a life of what you say out of your mouth doesn't match the energy that you're really feeling inside of your truth, that's going to make you sick eventually. And it probably will not cause you to go deaf in an ear or your right toenail to get a fungus. It's going to hit things like breast cancer, ovarian cancer. I cannot tell you how many women I've worked with and helped turn around that at first it didn't look like there was any relationship between the cheating husband and breast cancer. But once we weave through, it's like, oh my gosh, from an energetic, if you just look at energy medicine from, you know, where is the betrayal happening? You know, it's not affecting her throat. Well, her throat, it's affecting the most sensitive organs in her. Her concept, her esteem as being a woman. You know? And yeah, it's uncanny how the body often reflects what's going on energetically in our interactions with people. Or, you know, the mothering thing got a little wonked out. Or, and I'm reading some literature that is talking along these lines. Ovarian cysts, like things related to the feminine side of things. And then you trace what's going on in women's lives. Is it possible women are having a grand old time and everything's fabulous? Sure. But when you look at the percentage of the opposite situation, highly combative relationships, never feeling safe in her own house, abuse, tiptoeing around a man, not being able to say yes or no, just, you know, her life has been just taken over by everybody else. The body feels invaded and the energy starts doing weird things and starts being expressed in all sorts of ways. So sorry, I wasn't going to mean to go off in this tangent, but I do. It's something that I work with a lot.
So what do you feel about, because I've heard that if you have certain emotional problems or certain types of stresses, different areas on the body become affected. So what is that true? And what are some common ones?
Yeah, my simple answer would be yes, with a lot of caveats. So we can't always say, oh, well, if you fight with your husband, you're going to get this. If you fight with your mom, you're going to get that. Stress overall is going to start affecting our weakest areas. So is it possible if you have some genetic, you know, tendency towards an ulcer, that's where it goes? Or you're a little bit generally weaker in the lungs and that's where it goes? Yeah. I also noticed that, like I said, certain themes of what women are living with, it can be a ambivalence or even intense unresolved anger towards being a mother or your own mother. It's unique. It's different from what men experience. So we can't treat all stress the same. I'm very interested in deconstructing our conversations to be a little clearer so that we don't lump all stress together. Because even enjoyable things are stressful. Weddings are stressful, right? I mean, the body still feels a hit. But if we can be a little clearer on how we talk about what's going on, we might get better answers. So in classical energy medicine, yes, you know, worry is stored here, grief is stored there in the lungs, but I have not found it to be a 100% thing. When someone is talking to me, I do take it into consideration, but I don't just jump to a conclusion like a dictionary. Oh, this means that. I feel like that's doing people a disservice. Because there's always going to be exceptions. It's like a very wide bell curve. You know, it's not like you can definitively say X. It's more like it's possible, you know, and sometimes women have a lineage. Well, every woman in my family has had problems with XYZ, you know, and sometimes I'll get clients who say, my aunt, my grandma, everybody had, I don't know, hormonal imbalance or whatever. And I'm taking that into account and I'm noticing the way these women are living, you know, what's been an expectation. And a lot of times women aren't even aware of it. So we can turn things around now. There's no guarantee, but no matter what happens, you're going to be a lot happier. Just, you know, spending a little bit of time on these things. Because I always say, where else would you like to spend your time, energy, and focus and your money? Spend it on something that matters, you know, instead of, you know, Netflix or another cruise. The money is going to come and go anywhere, but anyway, time is going to come and go anyway. But if you're really concerned about the quality of your dating relationships and how it's making your stomach hurt and how you're not sleeping, it just keeps happening. Spend your focus there. And then you've got the rest of your life to have a good ROI on it. So it comes down to decisions for women. A lot of women would just say, well, this is the way it is. You know, it perpetuates. I don't know if that's making any sense at all.
Yes. So I know that when I was in a very stressful job, I started getting acid reflux first time in my life all the time. And I was just very on edge. Yeah. My new boss was always like, I'm going to fire you unless you do this. I'm going to fire you unless you do that, like constantly threatening me. And then I had all that weight on myself. And then I had in my mind, like the story is like, I don't think I can find another job because I'm in Miami and I don't also speak Spanish. And, you know, it's hard enough to get this job and all these things that go on into your head. And then finally, my husband and I, we got married and then he's like, just quit. And then I quit. And for like, I think a year, I was kind of detoxing from the stress.
Yes.
I was just calming down where, yes, I kind of looked kind of sad and mopey. And then like it completely stopped. Whereas other women, they'll have those symptoms. They'll go to the doctor. They'll get put on antacids or God knows what else.
Yes.
And they'll keep at the stupid job.
Yes, good on you. This is why paying attention to what's stressing you is invaluable. If the attitude is always, take a pill and calm down and get up the next morning and do it again. It's almost a form of self-abuse after a while. But a lot of people figured, well, that's how you do life. You suck it up. But whatever's bothering you has a message. You know, there's something either not sufficient or you're not getting something that you need. And women have not been trained to sit there in that line of inquiry. It's more being a good employee, work harder. What can you do to please everybody? And it's exhausting. So we need both sides of the equation. But my experience is women tend to sit on the yin side of things. Sometimes we need some yang. Yeah. The yang of inspiration, the yang of inspired action. And in order to find that, we need to first calm down a bit. And it helps to work with a community, a guide, because if you could have done it by yourself, you would have. Now, maybe you were fortunate that you had people around you, like sounds like your husband, who could support you. But there are a lot of women, they don't have anybody around them. And I'm here to say that that journey, expecting women to figure this out all by themselves, is a tall order. And the reason is we did not ever evolve to live this way, where people lived in their heads and solved problems by themselves. Once upon a time, people lived in communities. It was much more of a collective village. You know, you had elders who could advise the young moms. There wasn't this idea of a nuclear family just sort of hacking it by themselves in the suburbs. That's a tall order. And then people have to jump in a car and commute an hour, or before COVID, the stress of that. And then we send the kids over there, you know, like it was, we weren't designed to live this way. So women used to have access to much more community support than women have now. So what I tell women now is you sort of have to consciously reach out, listening to Kat's podcast or joining a group of like-minded women, because this support, it may not just fall in your lap just automatically if you're waiting for it. Sometimes you're going to have to go out and look for it. And this is especially true if everyone else in your family is feeling disempowered. You know, it's easy to be the sum of the five people you're around the most. I think there's a saying that we're influenced by the five people we're around the most. So if the five people around you the most are saying, well, you know, just deal with it. Get over yourself. It's not so bad. Maybe you should, you know, meditate. Like it's not the support you need. So that's why, you know, I love getting women together. I love podcasts like this. Women can listen to this in the privacy of their own home and know that they're not crazy. Because whatever's bugging you, for everyone in the audience, whatever's bugging you is trying to tell you something really useful, not only for your health, but for your happiness. And it's not so much, oh, I can rah-rah motivate myself out of this. There's often something that needs a scary question that needs to be sat with, you know, and you don't have to do it today, but you can sit with it, huh? And sort of tease around, how might I be with this instead of waiting 10 years or 15, 20 years? You know, like I have a lot of clients, they're in their late 50s or 60s. I had a client recently tell me that she knew 20 years ago that her husband was having an affair, but she just didn't want to deal with it because her life would change on a dime, right? I mean, once you really let yourself know what's going on, you have to do something. But instead, she went on this other journey and developed all kinds of health issues from the stress of that. Whereas, you know, it once you know that, like I think it's been said, it's like the speed of light, you know it. And then sometimes making a decision in that moment is kind of scary. So we slow it down. We slow things down. And I've done that a million times. So I get it. But it's so much easier with a community. It's so much easier with good podcasts, with, you know, I have a women's group we meet online around the feminine essence. I mean, find something. And then you won't feel so alone.
I wanted to thank Kat so much for allowing me to share with you what I've been using in my practice now for well over a decade. This is Dr. Stephen Cabral. I run one of the largest functional medicine virtual practices in the world. We've helped well over a quarter of a million people to reach their goals, and I would love to be able to share with you what we do as a foundational protocol for those people so that you can achieve those same results as well. We help people get well, lose the weight, or live longer, stronger by beginning with a 7, 14, or 21-day functional medicine detox. This is actually an easy-to-implement protocol that enables then your diet plan or your exercise plan or your healthy living plan to stick. So it's going to get you the results that you're looking for by allowing your body to first rebalance healthy levels of inflammation, rebalance healthy levels of hormones, digestion, and so much more. But I don't want you to take just my word for it. Please do check out now well over 100,000 people and what they've been able to achieve by going to stephencabral.com/cat.
So I have a big problem with what's going on today with the news and the stress and fear and anxiety machine that it's like pumping out into the country and the world, and everybody is on edge. We're going to die. We're going to die. This is, you know, the world's ending. This is the end of everything and blah, blah, blah. It's just repetitive and the new normal and the blah, 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 and all these things just perpetuating all this anxiety and stress in the population. I mean, I had to stop watching television completely. I just refuse to watch it. And I see the people that are still watching it. They're coming to me like, but you don't understand, blah, 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 blah. And they're going a mile a minute with all this stress and all this anxiety. And I'm like, stop. I don't care what they say anymore. That's not my world. And my world is what I'm going to create, my bubble. And if I get this or if I get that, I'll deal with it when it comes. I'm not going to spend every day of every minute living in fear and going nuts over things that ultimately I cannot control. So when it first happened, the fear and stuff like that, it got to me. And then my thyroid was affected immediately. Like I started blowing up. I had like a huge nodule and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. Yes. I'm like,
I had one of those. Yes. That was one of those unexplained illnesses I told you about at the start of our conversation. I had one of those. Went to all sorts of docs and they tried to tell me, oh, you got this, you got that. And it was energy medicine that cleared it up for me. But yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had all these things and they're telling me, oh, you have to do this or that or whatever. And then I'm just like, no, it's the stress. Trust me. I know it's the stress. I know what stress feels like. I see the anxiety. I was starting to get panic attacks after watching the news. And I'm like, that's what this is. I need to cut out the news. And every time somebody mentions something going on in the news, I need to say, you have to stop. And if this is what you want to talk about, you cannot talk to me. And I know that rub people the wrong way, but I like to think about positive. So then I would look at positive news. What you can do if you get sick, this is what you can do. And this will help you and blah, blah, blah. And then I have my tools. Okay, if it does happen, I know what I can do to feel better or to have a better chance of recovery. And you know what? To whatever years it's been, I still haven't gotten sick. I haven't gotten anything yet. So other than the thyroid issue, which it's pretty much gone, my last scan says it's shrinking, so yay. But I mean, these things, people need to realize that I don't know what we can do about the news. That is one thing. Like, I feel like they need to be held accountable for what they're doing to the population, because it's not just me that's getting sick off of that stuff. It's all my friends are getting sick. They're getting serious illnesses. They're getting cancers. They're getting a whole bunch of stomach issues, things that they've never had in their entire life, just from watching the news and being told they need to be in a state of constant fear.
Yeah. And you bring up some really important points around personal responsibility and the collective. And yeah, there's this thing called the business of news going on. I mean, this is so multifaceted, but at the end of the day, I do feel that each humanoid needs to do what they need to do to take care of themselves. And it's different from different people. You know, if for example, if you know the news makes you feel absolutely sick, you can decide you don't watch the news. It doesn't mean you're totally, you know, not paying attention to you know, if a bomb goes off in Europe or something, that you will have some knowledge of it. I don't think it's advisable that people are completely unaware, because then we're sort of disconnecting from the collective. We do need to sort of stay part of a community, but it's on a scale. You know, how much is okay for each person? And I have no judgment of it. I do notice, however, if people are completely tuned out, which I don't think you are, but I ran into someone in February, a former client, actually. She came to me. We did some great work. She's so much happier. Yeah, I had worked with her like 3 years ago. She was really depressed, and then she was very happy going off into the world. And I ran into her, and this was at the end of February. She didn't know anything about January 6th. Had never heard of it. And I remember feeling so fascinated. Like, is this a good thing? Because she wasn't hit with the, oh my God, you know. But there is also a piece of literacy in terms of what's happening that could be useful. Not that you don't have to sit there and watch hours of it. So it's a balance of staying informed and not letting the news take over. And so a lot of this with my clients, especially the very sensitive ones, we focus over and over and over on your energetic wellness. Where is your energy in your body? Especially your sensual energy. Do you even know? Because many women have no idea. The energy is sort of floating around. Right? And when you're watching something that's upsetting, it just like pulls people out of their bodies. So I show them some things like, try this. You know, there's some simple practices people can do so that their energy doesn't get yanked out of them. Because when it's yanked out like that, you will feel nauseous. You do feel scared. You do feel disempowered. But we want to stay present enough that we can still be informed with stuff that happens. It's useful. As a humanoid, part of a community, but you don't have to be completely hidden away either. Hope that's my answer in a nutshell. Hope that makes sense.
Yes, I definitely am not informed. I just choose which news to consume, and I choose some that are not biased. They have this person from this side, this person from that side, and then these people from the middle, and they're all having a civilized conversation, fact-based. Maybe they disagree, maybe they don't, but it's not name calling. It's not doom and gloom on the other side. It's not threatening each other or saying, you're wrong. No, you're wrong. It's none of that, because that brings your anxiety up. I just want to know the facts and then I'll process them. I don't need you to tell me how to think and how to feel about anything. And that's the problem with the mainstream news, that they're telling you how to feel, and how to feel is always ending up making you sick.
It's a complex issue, that is for sure.
So let's see. moving on from that, why do you think that the standard method of treatment when it comes to traditional therapy and medications, why do you think that there's such a push against it, and why people are searching more than ever? In my experience, just seeing what's going on, they're just searching for alternatives.
They really are. I've explained it this way, if it makes sense. You can imagine a square with four quadrants. And you can imagine that each of these four is a body of work that can help people. So they all add value, but they're different. And my experience has been that people are only aware of three right now. And there's one quadrant that's missing. It's starting to come more into awareness. It's the one that I've been in for the last 15 years, but I'll explain. So when people are feeling stuck, overwhelmed, stressed, oh my God, I need to reduce my stress, they might think of things like psychotherapy. Therapy is available to you. This is the lane of psychologists, cognitive behavior therapy, and it's very good for some things. And it's the world of the mind. So these are people who specialize with how and why people think the way they do, the way the brain interprets things. And it's really especially good if you've got some weird psychopathy or, you know, something like that. So this quadrant is very caught up with the narrative you've made about your life, the stories, you know, oh my God, my mom had issues with this, and that's why I have issues with this. And so it's primarily one-on-one talking. The limitation, there are a couple limitations. One is people often feel like they've talked themselves out. They keep doing it. They keep doing it. And they're getting more insight. Like, oh, now I know why I have a phobia around this or this and that. But I always ask them, well, do you feel any better? And a lot of times they say no. They understand their issues better, which is great. Why I am this way. This happened when I was in first grade. Whatever. Yay. But they don't always feel better. So more insight doesn't always make people feel better. It helps people maybe understand themselves a little bit better so they don't feel like they're really bat crazy. But there's a limit to how much insight can really help the heart bloom. I also feel the second limitation is therapy is really great for things that happen to people after about the age 8 or 9. Like the brain is fully developed at that point. Because in order for therapy to work, it's a very cognitive process. You need to have an ability to think abstractly. It's like the brain has to sort of understand itself, if that makes sense. Like you have to be able to explain yourself. And language and abstract thought for most people doesn't really start forming until around 7 or 8. But if things happen way before that, which is the case for a lot of my clients, it's like the die was cast already. The fish didn't even know it was wet, right? And so it becomes more difficult in therapy to explain something. There's a feeling, but people don't know why but therapy is really good. The third limitation I find with therapy is the model that it was built on was based on, it was developed by white men. And so the view of the world was, it couldn't help but be through a male lens. If you know what I mean, in terms of how life works, analyzing women. So it's a little bit of a deductive reasoning. And there wasn't enough awareness of the bias of the person who even set up therapy. This could be Sigmund Freud, B.F. Skinner, all these people that they studied people like an academic thing. That's not the same as understanding people. But they thought it was. Like if you could explain things. So that's the land of therapy. That by talking things out, you can hear the stories. You can help people shift their mindset through cognitive behavior therapy. That emotions can be aired, which is really great. I tend to get people after they've done a lot of therapy. Because you reach a point of marginal returns. It's not bad, but you feel like you're not getting anywhere. The second group, these of help that's available to people, these would be the people of the clergy, pastors, preachers, rabbis. So these are folks that it's a more community-based way because there's a tradition. We worship a particular text or a book, and there's a view of the world, and there's a comfort of being part of a community. So therapy is more individual, I think. Religion is more group oriented, which is great for people who feel like they have no family, right? It's been useful. But it does tend to have a certain tradition or perspective on how things work. And so if you go to your rabbi or your therapist or at the mosque or whatever, there's going to be a certain perspective. There is wisdom there, but it's through a specific lens. And that's good for some people, but some people, that doesn't fit them anymore. They grew up in that. There's a feeling that the shoe is too small. It doesn't really answer the questions that I want to ask, which are questions that people think I shouldn't question. I'm not allowed to ask questions. I shouldn't be even thinking this way for my own salvation, whatever. But there's an airing that people want. They feel like they can't go there. Either it's not up for discussion or you get an answer that never quite fits, if that makes sense. And yeah, tell me if I'm speaking too quick. Does that make sense?
That makes sense because my background is in psychology. That's what I was going to do before I decided this is not for me because this is not what I thought it would be. I remember going to therapy when I was younger, and it just you just ruminate over and over.
The same things over and over. So yeah, there's therapy, there's religion, and then the third box, these would be your medical professionals. Oh, you're having trouble sleeping. Maybe you need a supplement. Maybe you need something to balance a chemistry in your brain. Maybe you need something to help you sleep so that your ulcer doesn't get worse, or maybe a psychotropic, you know, something or other. And that's not bad. It's just way overprescribed. And it's because in this culture, you know, we spend all this money treating illness after it's been developed. You know, it's been, a lot of these illnesses didn't just happen overnight, unless it's, you know, some virus or something. But most of these cancers and things, it took a while. And then the stress of daily living. But, and then the time, by the time people get sick, you go to a doctor and they're not trained except for, well, surgery or chemical medicine, pharmaceuticals, because that's what they're good at. So they have to give you something. If you show up and you say, I have a migraine, well, he has to write you something. He's trying to help. But don't go there trying to understand why you're upset. You know, he'll probably say, you need to reduce your stress and lose 20 pounds. But in terms of the how, that's not their bag. So up to now, people have been aware of these three boxes. Well, do I need therapy? Do I need to go talk to my pastor? Or do I go and get a med for antidepressants? Which, you know, yeah, maybe your brain is short a little bit of chemistry, but I think this has been way overused. There's a fourth box that used to be more available in our culture. And I would say it's the box of the elders, the wisdom keepers, the teachers. And when we lived in communities, these people were more available. You know, you didn't have them locked away somewhere. These people were actively supporting young people in terms of their development of initiation or whatever, so that young people aren't out there reinventing the wheel every day, which I feel like that's what they're doing right now, because there's not enough guidance, right? You've got people studying academically people's brains. You got people thinking the answer to everything is more religion, or you got people saying, oh no, you just need to up your med of something if it gets really bad. But we used to have medicine people. We used to have, this box is much more interested in the spirit. It's much more of a mind-body medicine, mind-body-spirit, because there's not this idea of like, oh, we go here to study the mind, we go there to study the body. It's like, no, it's all at once, you know? So this is the world of energy. So it's oftentimes the oldest medicine there ever was, some indigenous traditions, all this stuff. I think it's starting to come back. And within there are different types of practitioners, you know, acupuncture or this and that. But I feel like people are yearning for more of this because it's less invasive. It's less expensive. Why don't we start here first instead of medicine first, you know, with the hard drugs? We've got it a little bit backwards. So to answer your question, I would like everyone to know there are four quadrants. They all have value. They're all good people wanting to support you. You as a consumer can start thinking about, what do you need most? You know, there are times you just need a med for something, you know, your hormones off or whatever. And there are other times, you know, this has been going on a long time. Nothing else has worked. Let me explore the mind-body connection, see what's there. Or why do I fly off into a rage so much? What is driving that? So I can be a better mother, a better partner. Anyway, long-winded answer. Four quadrants. And we're missing one. I think it's starting to come more and more aware for people.
So what are the types of energy medicine?
Yes, there are many kinds. And people have a tendency to lump it all. It's all the same. Reiki is the same as acupuncture, and acupuncture is the same as shamanic work. They're very different ways of working with energy. Some of them are more unguided. Like, there's not as much of a technical, this is this meridian, that meridian. It's just, I'm just going to send the energy and let it do its thing. Others, it's much more technical. To be a good acupuncturist in China, for example, it's 20 years training. I think it's absolutely ridiculous that people come to in the States, you can get a degree in, I don't know. I mean, it's a good place to start, but the wisdom comes from experience. And in China, if you've been doing it for 20 years, you're still considered relatively new, you know, because there's so much depth there. And it tends to be there's a lot of technical stuff. You got to know a lot of stuff for that one. Hypnotherapy is a different way of working That one might cross a little bit with the first therapy psychologist. So there's some that sort of bridge, you know. There's homeopathic stuff. There's flower essences, which I use a lot. All I care is the stuff that works. I don't try to get too technical. So with my clients, I often try different things. And I don't know what'll work. And I'm just like, well, let's try it. See if you like it. And there's oftentimes going to be one or two that people really gravitate towards. Like, ooh, I really like that one. And another one, people are like, didn't do anything for me. I'm like, great. So there does have to be a little bit of experimenting, research. Don't just try one and write off everything as it didn't work. And sometimes the fit with the practitioner is not right. Right? Maybe you and this person just weren't meant to work together. So I suggest everyone always have a discovery consult with somebody first. If you're thinking of going down that route, do you like talking to this person? Because if you don't feel comfortable, or can you feel the body's already tense and you're already not quite as open as you could be to receiving something that could be useful. So many different styles, some you'll enjoy more than others. Some are more esoteric, like you wouldn't think sound therapy would be useful, but for some people, boy, oh boy, it's great, you know, so some of them can be a little bit out there and others are more technical, and you can choose what resonates for you.
I remember once I tried Reiki just, you know, on a whim, and I had my eyes closed, and then I felt like the person like grabbing my chest, and I was like, what? Oh my God. I opened my eyes and he's working on my feet. And I'm like, how do I feel this? This is the creepiest thing ever.
Yes.
So whatever that is.
Yeah. That happens a lot. That happens a lot. To me, that's just normal now in working with clients. And I used to have to work with people in the room, you know, like holding their feet and stuff. Now what I've noticed is a lot of energy work can be done through just talking. Sound, voice, like our conversation now is my voice, and it's got an energetic signal encoded on there. So it may land in a way that helps somebody. So even though we're having this conversation about X, people often report, I just feel different and I don't know why. I'm like, well, good. You know, that's what we hope can happen when we're inviting the body and the spirit to come dance. Because what I'm doing is I'm presenting a buffet of different types of energy within my energy. And it's up to you to sip. I like this one and I like that one. So it's not me going in there to like, you know, because I used to have more of a applied energy approach. Someone comes in, they want Reiki, they want energy medicine for cancer recovery, whatever. And it would be an applied session. But now I'm noticing a lot can be done through inviting people and presenting some options and generating and holding that and allow them to pick the ones that they like instead of me saying, you need this or you need this. No, they'll know. And it's in the dance of speaking and teaching and talking. And yeah, if I need to do something with their body, I will, you know, but what you experience is very common, especially with people who have been under stress a long time. For many people who've been, you know, if they've been shut down or feeling really anxious, that what you reported is very common. Did it scare you?
It did not scare me, but it was just like, it just freaked me out. Like, I could have sworn.
Oh, yeah. People will say, oh, what are you doing to my head? And I'm nowhere near their head, you know, I'm down by their feet. Yeah. And then they laugh. We have a good laugh about it.
Yeah. But I've always wanted to go to that, to like feel something like that. That's the only time that I felt anything like a little weird. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. You can experience your inside body moving. Just through, like, if I had my hand over somebody's abdomen and I'm looking in there, especially with women's stuff, right? And I'm not touching them, but they can all often feel something that's starting to loosen or move again. Energy should never be static. You know, sometimes women report their body feels numb. They feel like there's a rock down there, like it's tight. And women's bodies were never... Nobody's body is designed to be like that. It's a lot of congestion. So there are a number of ways you can do it. You can do it through yoga. You can do it through acupuncture. do it hands off, just, and things can start to move in a way that's gentle and less medication. How about that? And if at the end of the day, if you still need a little bit of something, well, fine. But if we can reduce the amount of meds people need, oh my gosh, how great is that? You know?
Yeah, I'm all for that. Are there any maybe potential problems with alternative therapies? And where can you find, are there any good studies or anything like that that can prove it for the skeptical?
Yeah, I get asked that a lot. And I think there's more research out now than there used to be. When I first started, there wasn't any because no one wanted to spend the money to do it. And because usually studies are underwritten by an organization, either a drug company or, I mean, it costs money to do a study. And most practitioners either don't have the time or the inclination or the money. You know, it's like, why do I need to? It takes a lot to do a good randomized sample and all that stuff. It's a lot of work. And it's not realistic to expect individual practitioners just go out and do that. But I feel like since then, some universities have done some studies in hospital settings, healthcare settings. What is the lady's name? There are some people who are specializing with energy work in hospitals. And there's been some solid data that has shown this has reduced meds, painkillers, expedited body healing response, reduced anxiety. I mean, there's some quantifiable things that are starting to happen. I know the American Nursing Association has its own brand of energy work. You know, like, oh, you have to be a nurse to do our type of energy work, which is fine. A lot of nurses are doing that. A lot of books out there. Yeah, but I always say sort of be open and curious. Do your own research. I always tell people that if people want to work with my personal philosophy is I don't always know if some, you know, I can't tell always what's going to happen. I have a pretty good idea based on my experience of the types of people I am good with. But I say, this should not be something that you have to do 10 billion times to get a result. So therapy typically is a long-term, well, it depends on the kind of therapy. There's short-term and there's long-term. But I usually expect that something will shift within one appointment. And if it doesn't shift, I've already decided I'm not the right one. I want people to get in front of the right practitioner. And unfortunately, so much of this is hard to describe. You know, it's like, and that is frustrating. And I get it. When you're short on time, energy, and money, and you're like, who do I get? You know, I understand from a consumer point of view, it's overwhelming. Like, I don't know. You may go with referrals. You may watch a bunch of YouTube or listen to some podcasts. Who do you feel good with? But there's no real grading system or Better Business Bureau stamp yet for what we do. You may have friends that have had some good results. You may ask an allied professional. You may ask, you know, your massage therapist. They usually know somebody because they're the closest, right, to the body. Hey, do you know of anyone? They'll know somebody. You might even ask someone like your dental hygienist or there are some professions that are closer to it that might know of somebody in the community, or in some cases, working online can be an option because you don't have to be in the same room. Most of my clients aren't in the Atlanta area, you know, so, but trust your gut. It has to feel good. I hope that helps. It's like sorry, it sounds so vague, but I don't really have the best answer yet other than people being curious, asking around and trusting their gut.
So what are some things that people can do right now to address their stress and maybe help alleviate some of it?
Yeah. Well, everybody knows about meditation. Everybody knows about yoga. So I'm not going to go into that. But I will encourage everybody to start noticing. I know this sounds weird, but start noticing what the inside of your lower belly feels like. 3 to 4 inches below the navel, there is a place inside the body where in feminine essence work, we would talk about that's where the spark, the feminine energy lives. In masculine, if you're a man, it's often slightly higher. But the best analogy would be, you know how when people are on surfboards, the gravity point, right? Their legs, their knees are slightly bent and nobody's standing at attention, which is very disempowering in a way. It's not natural to stand at attention. It's more natural when you're checking out, you know, oh, if this wave comes this way, I'm going to go that way. That sort of groove energy. We're saying in dancing, hip hop, jazz at a club, you know, people are relaxing. Hula. It's a very lower body center of awareness. Our culture tends to be very intellectual. So people are more aware of what's going on up here. They literally, from especially women who have had problems with a trauma, disconnection with sexual energy, which is a big problem in this culture. Women are taught what feminine is rather than the energy of it. So there's this idea feminine is, you know, your makeup, being very soft, going with the flow, and, you know, very nurturing. Those are just qualities. Essence is an awareness of your preference, of the way your energy likes to run. And it's different for every woman. But anyway, that stuff lives lower in the belly. So if people want to start today, what you can do is imagine dropping a pebble or a gold coin. You know how you can drop a pebble into a wishing well? Imagine doing that down into your body. Like, it's like as if you had a well, if you're a woman, in the middle of your, we call it the womb space, your pelvic bowl, you just drop a coin down there and let it go down. And a lot of women have never really felt what their inside feels like, especially if there's been surgery, cysts, all this stuff. Like, that area is often very congested. So this is one of the first practices I help women get good at this. And I'm helping train them, especially if you have issues with cysts, PCOS, endometriosis, irregular periods, infertility. I've helped a lot of women with infertility because they're having trouble conceiving, and some women are disconnected from their sex drive, whatever. They're like numb down here. So there are practices that you can do just to develop more of an awareness, and no one has to know you're doing it. It's not like you have to go to India and do anything exotic. You can just be in your own home, sitting there at the dinner table, and becoming more aware of this spark inside your lower gut. And there's a lot more to that. But I would just say that's something people can start off right now. Put a spark. And what happens is people typically think of their bodies outside their bodies. Oh, Adele, is this the second chakra? Like, people get really intellectual. I'm like, not really. I mean, it's in that area, but I would rather you be in your body, like inside. Can you feel the, and people go, I never thought about it. Yeah, because it's easier for people to feel the inside of their hands than the inside of the pelvic bowl. I would absolutely suggest to everyone listening, start there. It will feel odd at first because you've never done it. Like, oh, this meat bucket, like, is this even attached? I'm like, yeah, start becoming more embodied. It's going to help your adrenal system, your fight, flight, all these things that happen when we don't have access to this power center. I would say that's enough. Everybody start there. And then, you know, there's more to do, but I don't want to overwhelm people. I feel like this is something simple, cheap, it's simple, but it takes a lot of practice. So hope that's useful. Put your spark in your lower belly, in your womb space. And if you're a guy, it would be about an inch higher. The center of gravity is a little bit different. But I work primarily with women, so I talk about the womb space. If you're a guy, you can talk about power center, Dantian. You know, and it's something the martial artists know about.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's groovy.
So where can everyone learn more about you, and tell us all the ways that people can work with you?
Yeah, I'm pretty easy to find. You can look me up on all the socials. I'm on Instagram, my website, safehavenhealing.net. I think it's under construction right now, but I do have a pretty active TikTok channel where I put clips out there. You can find me on TikTok. I also have a YouTube. I do have a podcast where I take some of these topics and expand on them. So if you really want to understand feminine energy at a deeper level, or what's happening in our culture around us. I often interview people that I think have something interesting to say. Go to the All Things Human podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, or you can just Google my name, All Things Human. I would invite everyone to connect with me so we can be part of a community, because I think people are trying to live this life alone way too much. And yeah, if you want to talk to me further, you can book a time, discovery conversation. The first thing I do is listen. You know, what's going on? Do I think I can help you or not? If I don't think I can help you, I'll just refer you to somebody else. If I do think I can help you, I'm get some questions, you know, to make sure I really know what's going on. And I work with people privately. I also work with people in small groups. Small. I like intimate. So these are not massive, you know, big box, 300 people of your best friends. It's small. Yeah. So I'm pretty easy to find. Just reach out. I'd love to hear from everybody.
So I will put all that into the show notes for everyone to check out. Before we go, is there anything else you'd like to leave the audience with?
I just think it's awesome that people are waking up to what's possible. In previous generations, people sort of, I don't know if they stopped dreaming or they just didn't expect what was possible. But with more possibility comes more responsibility. And, you know, there are times when I don't want to know what's possible, but I don't want to choose, you know, but so it's a double-edged sword. We have more freedom and you're going to have to exercise more personal responsibility of what's right for you. That just doing what someone else tells you, although it's easier, it may not be the best solution. So be brave, explore, listen to these podcasts, explore, read books, talk to cool people, and just stay open. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for your time. And this has been great.
Thank you for having me. It's been a great conversation, Kat.
I had an episode a while back with Dr. Mona Fahoum of Feminescence. And we spoke about Feminescence, Maca Harmony, and their Maca products. And if you're a woman who's ever had hormonal imbalances, if you're trying to come off the birth control pill, or even if you're going through menopause, this is a natural way to help ease that transition and to help balance your hormones. There's nothing quite like it, so go to feminescence.com, enter code KAT15, K-A-T-1-5, for 15% off any of their single pack products, and definitely go check out the episode. Just search for Mona Fahoum on my podcast and listen. You won't regret it. Thank you for listening to the show. Please show your support for the podcast by leaving a 5-star review. Learn more about the show and what I have to offer you at katkatibi.com. Consider being a part of the new Patreon, where episodes are ad-free and you'll find extra bonus content. Send a voicemail question or email me. Check the show notes for more information. This podcast is for informational merrymakings and metaphysical purposes only. Statements and views are not medical advice. This podcast, including KatKatibi, disclaim any adverse effects by the use of information you may have heard. Opinions of guests are totally their own. This podcast does not endorse statements made by guests. This podcast does not make any representations or warranties about guest qualifications, credibilities, or sanity. Individuals may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to on the podcast. If you think you have a medical problem, consult with a licensed medical physician, not just the spirit of your ancestors while on ayahuasca.